And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter, I mean, not Matthew, I'm sorry, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to start a new series tonight calling Abiding in Jesus' Presence, or Abiding in the Vine. John chapter 15. We look, of course, going to look at that passage from different angles. And we're going to look at 15 verse 1. And before, what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to read these verses and we will pray for the message and we pray as well for our offering, okay? So let's look at this John chapter 15. It says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in me, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. It's a very misunderstood passage by many denominations, Lord. Some believe that you lose your salvation here. And Lord, that is an error in their parts. And pray, Father, to give us mind and a heart to understand what you try to say to us here tonight. I pray, Lord, for our offering as well, that you bless the offering, multiply it, give us wisdom to use those funds that come in for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight we continue learning with the Master. And as I said in the beginning of the year, we will continue till the end of the year. We're going to, every message that I'll be preaching is going to come about Jesus speaking and Jesus teaching. So we're looking tonight at, we're going to look for a few weeks on this passage of Scripture right here, abiding in the vine. So abiding in the vine here, we see here that this passage is misunderstood by people, on which some people think that you lose your salvation. Some people believe that this passage is teaching and losing your salvation. But it's not what the passage is teaching here. Okay? If you actually go to the previous passage, look at what it says in verse 30 of chapter 14. Whereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and had nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father given me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. I am a true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So I said this Wednesday night, I'm going to say this to you again. When you look at the Scriptures, you have to keep one thing in mind. Chapter and verse is not, and it was not part of the writing of the Bible. It was put there for our better understanding, better find passage in the Bible. So, you have to understand who Jesus is talking with right here. He's talking to saved people. This is not a salvation message. This is a message on fellowship. Okay, so we're going to look at this from several, about a few weeks, and we're going to look at this in about our fellowship, or about abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, isn't the Bible a wonderful book?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I think the Bible is a wonderful book. Treasure your Bible. If you have several Bibles, so treasure your Bibles. Isn't the Bible a wonderful treasure the Lord have given us? I tell you what. How wonderful to have a Bible. Isn't the words of the Bible rich,
Amen.
Powerful, and applicable to every generation?
Amen.
So why are we changing verses and erasing verses out of the Bible?
Right.
Why are we doing that? Why we look at some Bibles we compare it and it's like, oh, that chapter, the verse is not there. What happened? On which authority do we take those verses out of the Bible? Don't we have a word of warning and revelation about that?
Right.
So, do we have the authority to do such a thing? I tell you what, I wouldn't dare to take it, subtract anything out of the Bible. I wouldn't dare do that. That's the words of God. So, there was a fella who told me that he didn't like the KJV Bible. I asked him, why don't you like the KJV Bible? He replied to me that he did not understand what he was reading. I said, okay. So I asked him, patiently I asked him, you don't understand the context of what you're reading, or you just don't understand certain words in the Bible? He replied, I don't understand certain words. Well, I told him, I replied to him, why don't you get a nice Bible dictionary so that you can understand the words and enrich your vocabulary and your grammar? Well, tonight, it has the promise. So tonight, we are going to look at this very subject. We're going to look at a word that unfortunately many people don't use in our day. It is the word abide. Unfortunately, there are many words in the KJV Bible in which people don't use today. And they don't even know what the definition of the word. So they look for a more watered-down Bible on which they can see or try to understand. And when they were looking for a watered-down Bible, many times, like I read, I was like, this doesn't say the same thing as this one. All right, let me put this for the record here. Why do we preach from the KJV Bible here? I'm going to explain to you. I use the KJV Bible because that's the closest translation to the original writings. I want to teach you the Word of God as original as it was written. And for me to do that, I have to use the King James Bible. Amen. And the problem is of our day is that people, their grammar is so short and small and the vocabulary. So when they see big words or those words, they go, oh, what is it? They don't even try to understand what it means. Why don't we be students of the Word and enrich our hearts and minds with these words? But I think there are places in the Bible here, in passages in the Bible, like even in the beginning of the Bible, on which if we change a word, we change in the Word of God. And we should be doing that. So anyway, so as long as I'm a pastor here, we're going to preach from the KJV Bible. All right? I guarantee you that. So, well, tonight we are going to this subject and this word abide, on which some Bibles you cannot find it. So unfortunately, there are many words in the KJV, like I said, that people don't use today and don't even know the definition of it. So in such a case is this word abide here that we see tonight. There are thousands of words in English language, and I would guess that the word abide is probably one of those words that we don't use today. We have all used phrases like let's go or hurry up. We tend to use words that keep us going, but the word abide usually escape us. Oh, I'm going to your house. I'm going to abide with you. We just don't use that word, do we? We don't hear that word. So we would say, I'm going to your house. I'm going to hang out with you. Now we're used today, and people go, oh, I get it. Well, I'm going to abide with you. So the Webster defines the word abide this way, to remain or settle down. Our world today places such emphasis on being upward, in this upward mobile, that the very thought of remaining with something or someone has negative connotation. So listen, folks, America are on the move constantly. We have a culture that is constantly changing. And they want us to keep up with it. I tell you what, I'm not for that. I am where I am. I've been called old-fashioned, so let me be called old-fashioned. I don't want to be new-fashioned. I want to be called old-fashioned, all right? So we live in a fast-paced, moving society where fast food places are everywhere and drive-through windows as well. I talked about that this morning. People are moving from relationship to relationship. People are moving from state to state. People are moving from company to company. People are moving from spouse to spouse. People are moving from church to church. Folks, we may not think much about it, but this is a great tragedy. This stuff This stuff is a big contribute to a society that continually is in a state of declining. Listen, if you go back to 30 or 40 years to today in our society, we can see the decline of society, the decline of the way people speak, the decline the way people treat other people, the decline of the home, the decline even in our own government. We see the decline. We see the character and integrity. It's gone. We see all this. So folks, another contributor to the moral decline of our society is the amount of immoral TV programs and other forms of entertainment that we watch. We have so much entertainment to entertain our minds that our attention span is very short. Listen, if you put something constructed on Facebook and some other social media, more than likely somebody won't even look at it. It takes too long. So you have to put something that is short and sweet and short and to get some people's attention. Otherwise, they don't even look at it. They don't even look at it. And which is sad. So, culture have conditioned us to be in motion and constantly on the go. So the Lord Jesus spoke the words in our text no fewer than 8 times in this passage. He tells his disciples to abide in me or remain in me, settle down and do a relationship with me. So let it be normal and natural that we would commute together day by day, moment by moment with the Lord. That we shouldn't have the Lord as fast food. We shouldn't have the Lord as a take it or leave it. He wants us to abide in him. Not abide just when we come to church. We are Christians 24/7. He wants us to abide with him in as each and every day, every minute of the day, to abide in the Lord Jesus. So in this passage, Jesus was somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, quite possible surrounded by vineyards. And of course, he was a master teacher, and Jesus was a master on using objects or things that were surrounding him to convey a big story. He was one of the greatest teachers, and it was a great teacher, and people got it. Remember last week I bought the 2x4? That 2x4 never made it back to my house. But anyway, somebody took it. But anyway, they asked me if they could have it. But anyway, Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus sees these vineyards right here, and he uses that concept to convey a big message to for his disciples to understand. Why that? He was about to go to Calvary. He was about to go to Calvary, and more than ever, those disciples needed to understand what they were standing on. They understand who their master was, and to keep abiding in Jesus, even though he was going to the cross. What happened when Jesus went to the cross? They all forsake him. And Jesus told them, abide in me and I in you. So let's discover the means to abide in the person of Jesus from several points tonight. Number one, the power of his presence. Look what it says in verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. You see, notice the words I am. He says, I am right here the true vine. Of course, he's literally calling himself God here. He is the Lord, letter A. We see this in John chapter 8, verse 58 as well. 7 times in the book of John, Jesus mentioned the word, I am. He even said to the Sadducees and the Pharisees at the time, before Abraham was, I am. And they took stones to kill him because he called himself God. He said, they were thinking, Abraham lived several centuries ago, and you're telling us that before Abraham was born, you were? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus mentioned those two words with a purpose. The purpose was for the people to understand that to know that he was the Lord, the Messiah, the Redeemer. The words echoes back in time all the way to the book of Exodus and Genesis. And the Jewish people knew exactly what he was talking about. So he was trying to hold them here because the events that were going to happen in the days ahead, for them to abide in him and to believe him and his word. And I tell you what, God is telling the same thing to me and you today. We are to abide in the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. If the branches is not abiding in the vine, the branches would wither away. Again, don't misunderstand me here, because he's not talking about salvation here. I said, he's going to cut the branches. No, they lost salvation. It's not what he's talking about here. The passage has nothing to do with salvation. So listen, what Jesus says in the New Testament in the book of John. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Listen to the response and the reaction to Jesus' words. In John chapter 8, verse 59, "Then they took up stones to cast on him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed away." You see, they didn't believe him, and they knew exactly what he was talking about, and they were about to stone him. So, folks, Jesus went right to the point to the Jewish people, and you and I can understand that he is the great I am. He is Jehovah. He is the Lord of creation. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He made that clear to the Jewish people, and he makes it clear to you and me today as well that Jesus is the great I am. There's some people out there that believe Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is not God. I'll tell you what, he is my Savior, he is my God, he is my Redeemer. That's who he is. He is the Creator of all. Jesus is presenting himself as merely another way to heaven, he's presenting himself as the only way to heaven. The words I am are very powerful words in the Bible. Early in the book of John, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He declared, "I am the light of the world. I am the door." John 14:6, he says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He, over and over again, he's letting these people know that he is their Messiah. He is the one that was promising Scripture. And now right here to his disciples, he's trying to encourage them to abide in him as he about to go to Calvary's cross. So Jesus' statement in the book of John is a definite one. Is a powerful one. And I tell you what, his claims are supreme. And when you enter into his presence, you are entering to the greatest presence in the whole universe. When we enter to God's promise, in God's presence, we enter to the greatest presence in the universe, the greatest power, because that's who he is. Let it be. He is the Lord, but let it be, number two, he is our Redeemer. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." I tell you what, I love this word, Redeemer. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I can sleep and put my head on my pillow because I know that I've been redeemed. Amen. I serve a great Redeemer. The word to mean genuine and true. Jesus is not a false vine or just another vine. Jesus is genuine and the true vine. If anyone wants to go to heaven, they need to get themselves in the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say it doesn't matter which vine you abide or which religion you are part of, as long as you truly believe and you are honest and sincere. Well, sadly, but many people today believe in all sorts of strange things. They believe in all sorts of strange things. They get themselves attached to all kinds of nonsense. So many people are very religious, follow all kinds of different gods, different beliefs, counting beads, confessing sins, and following stricter traditions, and they think they are on their way to heaven. And let me tell you this, folks. The sad thing is they do this with good intentions. That's the sad thing. They're doing those things full of great intentions. They think they do it right. They try to appease God. They're doing the right way. But I tell you what, they've been deceived and deceiving themselves. They're not trying to find the truth. They're not trying to find the truth. We should be curious enough to read the Bible instead of listen to other people say and assume that what they're saying is right. We got to be students of the Word of God. And I know you folks are students of the Word of God. But what about many people that say the Bible says this and you say to them, "You show me." They have no clue. They heard from somebody else. Somebody said to me one day, God helps those who help themselves. And I said, "Where did you find that in the Bible?" "Oh, it's in the Bible." "Well, you find me, you tell me, because I never found that statement." It is a make-believe thing, and they go, "The Bible says so." No, it doesn't say so. It's not there. So he is our Redeemer. He's our true Redeemer. Look what he says. I am the true vine and my Father, the husbandman. So Jesus claims in this passage to all the New Testament, exclusive. He basically exclude every religion, a way to heaven, and claims to be the only true and the only way to the Father. And some people say, oh, it's very narrow. I can't accept that. Put up with God. God's plan of salvation didn't start with me. I'm just his servant. I'm just the one who delivers the message. If you have a problem, put up with God. Ask him why. We know why, but he's the only way to the Father. Jesus stepped forward through the pages of history and said, I am the true vine. Let us see. Number three. He is our only way. Actually, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, is as much as people use his opinion, there's all kinds of nonsense. Let me tell you this. Jesus still, in 2021, claiming he is the only way to the Father. He's the only bridge to heaven. He's the only way there. And the Bible says no other name. He's the only name. He's the only one. Jesus is the Savior that you need, that I need. He is the Redeemer that you need, that I need. He is the salvation that you need, that I need. So in this parable, the branches represent the lives of believers, people who share life from the true vine. So friends, before we go any further, do you know for sure that you are fixed in the true vine? And the Bible says to you and me, says that from time to time we have to check if we are really in the faith. I mean, if you're not sure of your faith, make sure you're faith. I mean, if you're not sure that you're saved, make sure that you are. Because if you depart from this world still doubting, you might die on your doubts and die unsaved. But sometimes, you know, we just doubt because of our sin. Will we truly save it? But if you doubt that you're not saved, you should settle that down with God. So do you know if you abide in the vine? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, he invites you to come to him by faith and place 100% of your trust in him for the forgiveness of your sin and so he can take you to heaven. Listen, folks, I thank God that the vine from which I draw my strength and sustain is Jesus. Our hope is the same for you. You know why? Because I do believe that he is God Almighty. Amen. I do believe he is my Creator, my Redeemer, my Savior. Yep. And I put my faith and trust in him. What a privilege to enter into personal relationship with Jesus. What a privilege to accept his invitation to abide in him. I tell you what you hear from my messages is the result of my relationship with my Savior. He works in my heart and my life, and I want you to have the same thing. That's why the zeal that I have to preach and to teach you the Word of God. That's what I want to do. You know why? Because it is working in me, and I want you to have the same. To abide in Jesus is a powerful thing. Why? Because if you abide in Jesus, you are abiding in God. There's no other religion in this world that can have this kind of a wonderful relationship. I serve a living God. I talk to a living God. I commune with a living God. I pray to a living God. Not somebody that is dead and is in the grave. My Savior rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. So when I talk to him, I know that he's listening because he lives. I know that he cares because he lives. I know that he's going to answer my prayer because he lives. That's the God that I serve. So what we see here, number two, we see the invitation to Jesus' presence. Look what it says, abide in me and I in you. You see, he's not forcing you to abide in him. He wants you, he's inviting you to abide in him. Again, he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about fellowship and a relationship with him. He says, abide in me and I in you. You know what? Because they are Christians, they're not abiding in the vine. They have too many branches that need to be pruned. Yep. And those branches are going with the wind and all kinds of winds, and they need to be pruned. We're going to talk about this in the days ahead. So notice that this is a complete census right here. Jesus is inviting us into his presence. Understand this, before you can abide with someone, you must first enter into a relationship with that someone. The word abide, it's a stay. And like I said in the beginning, today we use the word, I'm going to hang out with you. What the word literally means abide with you. You come to my house, you're going to hang out with me for a day or two or three, whatever that is, that we talk with each other. But in the meantime, you are hanging out with me. That's today's society. That's the way the teens or the teenagers talk. I don't even like that word, hang out with me or hang out with you. But that word, biblical word, is abide. And Jesus said to you and me, abide with me and I with you. So he's inviting you and me to abide in him, to abide with him. I tell you what. Look, he said, abide in me and I in you. He's sending this strong message to his disciples because he knows what's coming ahead. Jesus, understand this, before you can abide with someone, like I said, you must first enter into a relationship with that someone. For an example, I got a total stranger coming here and says to me, hey, pastor, I'm going to hang out with you for a couple of days at your house. I don't even know you. We don't have a relationship. You see, Jesus is talking to his disciples, the saved people, and he's inviting them to abide in him. He's inviting you to abide in him. You know why? Because you have a relationship with him. Well, some relationships are cold. Some Christians' relationship with the Lord, they're cold, they're distant. But Jesus wants to rekindle that and say, you come and you abide in me, and I in you, so we can have a wonderful time together. So the way to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, of course, Jesus Christ is by faith in the finished work of the Lord on the cross of Calvary. Look what it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It is the gift of God. So folks, abiding in Jesus begins by putting our faith in him, not a faith based on feelings plus work, not a faith in him plus religion, not a faith in him plus another denomination. This faith must be in Jesus and Jesus alone. Not no religion. This faith for salvation is a faith in Jesus alone. So now don't think I'm a member of this church because I'm a member of this church, so I'm going to heaven. You will never make it if that's the way you think. Right. Abiding in Christ begins by putting faith in Jesus Christ, trusting his death and resurrection for the payment for your sin. And when you make that decision, the Bible says you are saved. And from that moment on, you can now abide in Jesus. Letter A, abiding in Jesus starts at salvation. I just mentioned all that. Look what it says in John chapter 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So how we start abiding in Jesus is start at the moment you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come to your heart and be your Lord and your Savior. So the invitation to his presence begins at salvation. Once you enter the relationship with Jesus, Jesus invites you to abide in him. The sad thing today, there are many Christians that do not abide in Jesus. Or their abiding in Jesus is very distant. So you see, folks, many people speak of Jesus, agree that he is a good man, and that he is the Son of God, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. Actually, many people believe in Jesus as a religious Jesus. Some other believe in Jesus that only fits in their mind. They have a form of Jesus the way they think it fits in their mind. So that sometimes they even say to you, when you talk to them, oh, my Jesus would never do this. Oh, my Jesus would never say that. Oh, my Jesus would never judge anyone. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus that they make in their own minds. So the invitation to abide with Jesus starts at salvation. But the Jesus of salvation is the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of religion. But let it be, abiding in Jesus grows with his word. One way to abide in Jesus is to regularly read, study your Bible. When you open your Bible, or whatever you have, the Word of God, and you immerse yourself into the Word of God, you are abiding in the Word of God. You are in His presence, you are reading, you are studying, He's talking to you through His Word. And let me tell you, it is easy to do routine. Okay, I read my 5 chapters today. I'm done. Or read one verse. If you can read 4, but take something out of it. Every time you read God's word, take something out of it. Ask the Lord, even before you open the Bible, Lord, give me something today that I need. And He will give it to you. He will give it to you. You see, when you spend time in God's word, you are spending time with God. You are abiding in Him, in His word. His word is alive and powerful. It will change your life and allows its truth to flow into your heart and work in you and through you. There are quite a few Christians who make the Bible reading and Bible study a casual thing. Please don't do that. Don't make Bible study and reading your Bible a casual thing. Do something that you treasure, something that you want to be there because you want to abide in Him. You want to have the nourishment that comes from the vine into your heart to sustain you. Folks, we have a lot of disappointments in life, don't we? We have a lot of setbacks in life. We have all kinds of things that can discourage us to no end. Let me, we need some nourishment. You ever went a couple days without eating? And when you get a meal, you feel like rejuvenated, full of energy. Why? Because you got nourishment, right? You need the food. Your body needs the food. Don't you think our spirit needs to be fed? Our spirit goes sometimes is starving for the Word of God, and we're not feeding it. We need that. We need to feed on the Word of God. So let us see, abiding in Jesus, grow stronger with prayer. We talk about this morning. Look what it says in James chapter 4 go to James chapter 4 verse 8. It's good that you see these verses. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Look what it says there. Abiding in Jesus, grow stronger with prayer. Why? Because now you abide in His presence. Look what it says. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But Luke says here in the beginning, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. How we draw nigh to God? Through prayer. I mentioned this morning, our message was almost on prayer the whole time. By the way, let me tell you this about this morning. That passage in Scripture, the ask, seek, and knock, that was my prayer during my cancer treatment. I memorized that whole passage just because the Lord drew me to that passage. And every day, I used to quote that passage back to the Lord. It sustained me. It got me closer to God by asking, seeking, and knocking. It changed my life. It made me look at life differently and also look at God differently for the way He is and what He does. And I believed in what I was saying. I tell you what, that message this morning came from the bottom of my heart because I went through it. And we still, all of us, go through some aspects and problems of life. And I tell you what a great passage to memorize. So it says right here, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So God wants for us to abide in the vine and to get the nourishment that we need out of the vine. Of course, you have to understand, we are the branches and the branches takes the nourishment out of the vine. So if the branch doesn't take the nourishment out of the vine, we wither away. And let me tell you, God says right here, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. We also abide with the Lord through prayer. Jesus invites you to come boldly into His presence and to abide with Him in prayer. Isn't that wonderful that we can approach the throne of grace today without going through anybody to pray for us? Or we can just go straight to the throne of grace, no matter what hour of the day. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, God is there. God doesn't say, not right now, I'm asleep. God is there. Isn't that great? Actually, we don't even think that God is asleep. Many times I say, Lord, I happen to me, Lord, I want to pray. I'm praying, but I'm so tired. I don't know how to say the words. You know my heart, Lord. It's here. I'm just too tired even to. It happened to me sometimes. But I tell you what. He doesn't get tired. We do. We do. But let me tell you, prayer is a wonderful privilege. We can go to the throne of grace and pray and talk with the Lord and abide in Him. It goes like this. If you jump into a swimming pool, I guarantee you that you will come out wet. If you embrace your heart and mind into prayer, as the Bible describes, I guarantee that you are going to change, because when we pray, God works in our hearts. It does. Let us be honest here. The truth is that some Christians, and I'm generalizing here, are more prayerful than others. There are some Christians that are prayer soldiers, so to speak. They have the great zeal, and they pray, and they pray. There are people like that. Some Christians, they're very prayerful people. Prayer warriors, we call them. There are others don't pray that much. But even if you pray little, pray much, let me tell you this, God cares. And God wants to abide in you. And the more you pray, you can stop by praying 1 minute, but I guarantee you, tomorrow you pray another minute, tomorrow you pray a little bit, there's going to come a point, that minute goes to 2, to 3, to 4, to 5, and before you know, you pray several times through the day, because now you are abiding in Him, and you're looking forward to that. Some Christians are terrified of praying in public, and some others are not. But anyway, any amount of time that we spend in prayer reveals our need for Him. Folks, how many times in our lives we don't find anyone to console the deepest needs of our hearts? You ever been there? You talk to people, you ask people, they give you good input, they embrace you, they hug you, they cry with you, they pray with you. And in the end, when you're by yourself, you're still like empty and dissatisfied. You're missing something until you talk to the Lord. I hope I'm not the only one. Don't you think that this man doesn't have any problems? Because we do have problems. And we do have struggles. I just choose to go to God and give it to Him. It is in our hearts of prayer that we discover the abiding presence of the Lord. It is in our prayers that we discover that He cares and that He loves us. Look what it says in Psalm 143, verse 1. O Lord, give an ear to my supplication, and in thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Psalm 69, 19 says, but verily God had heard me, He had attended to the voice of my prayer. In verse 1, he says, blessed be God, which had not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So folks, there are many people who don't like to show others how strong they are. But the truth is that none of us is really that strong. At any moment, any of us can become emotional shipwrecks. I'll give you an example. I work with my teenage years. I work with a guy. He's like 6'9", big guy, very muscular. I was like, I wasn't even there. But he was a good friend of mine. And he got laid off out of the job. And years later, I moved to another job. So I didn't see him for years. Maybe like 10, 15 years. Then I am in the present work job that I am. I'm walking to a section. I look at him. I have to go ask him because I was hoping that was not the wrong person. Because he looked so different. So I imagine this big, you know, big Hulk, you know, masculine stuff. So I approach him and I said, are you not Ronnie, are you? And he goes, I am. I try to contain myself because the strong man that he was got a lot of illness. And now he was not the strong man he was. He was fragile. And you could see that he was struggling. But see, it happens to all of us. None of us is as strong like we think we are. We need nourishment from the vine. We are very needy people who desperately need the Lord, and prayer reveals how much we really need Him. Actually, we see this example throughout the Bible in the lives of so many people where they went to the Lord and talked with Him in the very moments of desperation in their lives. And let me tell you, it is better for us to go to the Lord with our troubles than try to resolve it ourselves. I tell you. So letter D, we see abiding in Jesus gets stronger through trials. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5:1-7, that the trials of your faith being much more precious than the of gold, than perish through the tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory and the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter, when he's talking here, Peter, he's talking about trials because the people at that time was going through a lot of persecution, and he understood the trials they go on. And Peter says this thing right here, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perish, to be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory. I tell you what, it is in the moments of trials, it is in the moments of desperation that if we abide in the vine, we understand what is the value to be a child of God. And we can go to those trials and in a much better way than someone that don't even know God at all. I'll give you an example. When we first came to America, I didn't speak a word of English. Knew a couple of words. And my mom got very sick. So we needed a translator to go to the hospital. My mom was in the hospital. It was very hard. We just arrived here. About a couple months here. It was very hard. My dad was about to go home. My dad said, this is bad. I'm going to take my wife to the hospital. I don't even know what's going on with my wife. You have to depend on people. Of course, it drove me and my sisters to try to understand, to learn the language, which we did. But my dad got very, very sick, very ill a couple years later. They told us that my dad had a black spot in his intestines, and we didn't know what it was. At the time, it was so hard because science was not as good as today. And they said, well, we're going to go to him to get the surgery, and we see what happened. Well, it was almost 12 hours later when somebody showed up. It was a despair in our hearts. It was a despair in my sister's and my mom's heart. We were sitting there together, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He was crying, she was crying, she was crying, I was crying. We were teenagers. It was so hard. We had no one to embrace to. We didn't know God in a personal way that we could go to Him. But I tell you what, when my dad came down with cancer, and it was a different age, I was a Christian. My family was not. But let me tell you, what a difference. Abiding in the vine, get the sustaining out of the vine. Now I could help them. And I tell you what, in those moments of great trials, I tell you what, it is good when we have God. It is good when we have God. And we all have different types of trials, all of us. We have different types of trials. My trials might not be your trial, but I tell you what, trials can be painful. Trials can hang around for a long time and be painful. And let me tell you, in those times, we need the vine to sustain us as the branches. Otherwise, we're going to wither away. And we need that sustainment. Otherwise, we're going to rely on our trials and we're going to just get consumed by it. I tell you what, abide in Jesus, get stronger through trials. If the trials come and we abide in the vine and take the nourishment out of the vine, I tell you what, we will go through it. Tell you what, I'll give you a story. In the old Western days, a man was walking down the road carrying a bag of grain on his shoulders. Another man was riding along the road in a buckboard pulled by a horse. He came up beside the man carrying the bag of grain and said, jump up here on the buckboard with me, and it's too hot to be walking today. The man said, thank you. I got up into the seat with the green still on his shoulder. After a while, the driver said, why don't you just don't you put that grain down and relax? The passenger said, oh no, it's not enough that you would allow me to ride. I would never ask you to carry my load too. You see the problem of us Christians many times? We carry our load. And Jesus said, give it to me. Abide in me, relax. I will give you nourishment. Let me carry for you. And we say to Jesus, no, Jesus, you don't understand. I have to carry my cross. I have to carry this thing. You just don't understand. You see, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. This is what many Christians do, unfortunately, which is sad. They said, Lord, I know you can save me. Forgive my sins and give me a home in heaven. But I wouldn't ask you to carry my load too. Folks, Jesus said, I want to abide with you. I want to carry your load and be your life. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Folks, what is it saying right here? Cast all your care means all your care. Cast it all. Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. He wants to abide in us. How can Jesus abide in us? In Galatians 2:20, Paul gives us a guide of how we can abide in you. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's see what the Lord says in there through the Apostle Paul. Look what it says, as we abide in the Lord. That's how he wants us to abide in him. Look what it, the first words right there in Galatians 2:20. Look what it says. I am, what? Crucified with Christ. I mean, you died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, why? By the faith of the Son of God. Look what it says. Who loved me and gave himself for me. How we can abide in the Lord, we have to crucify this old man of flesh to the Lord. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit came inside of your heart and lives in you. Now God wants you to abide in him. So, when Jesus said, abide in me, and I will abide in you, he's referring to the Holy Spirit who abides in us in every moment of our lives. The thing is, the question is to you and me, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us? Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to transform you into the image of Christ. He wants you to look more and more like Jesus, to talk more and more and more like Jesus. And you know that doesn't happen overnight. It happens one moment at a time. Let's go to number three, our last point. The comfort of Jesus' presence. Look what it says in verse 9 of our text. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. I tell you what, this truth is one of my favorites. This passage of Scripture. God loves me. And I tell you what, love is an action verb. Is an action verb, requires action. Jesus demonstrated love for me. And when I look at Calvary's cross, I know that I am loved. I know that I am loved because my Savior, my Redeemer, was nailed on that cross, shed his blood, went through all that pain for me. I know that I am loved. You know, that causes me to work for him. That causes me to serve him. That causes me to sing for him. That causes me to preach to you. You know why? Because I know that I am loved. What a great feeling, isn't it? That I know. Listen, folks, everyone in this world wants to be loved. I don't care what people say. I don't get. No. Everyone wants to be loved. Even animals want to be loved. Don't you have pets? Look what they do. They love you. They keep coming to you to their master. You know, everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to have that feeling of being loved. So it says, as the Father had loved me, so I love you. He's telling his disciples that. I've got to remember this one thing here. He's preparing them because he's about to go to Calvary's cross. He knew that they needed to know that they were loved by the Lord. And let me tell you, tonight, God wants you to know that you are loved. When you go to bed tonight and you lay your head on your pillow, just remember you are loved by your Creator. You are loved by Jesus. Don't you ever think that nobody cares, nobody loves you. He loves you. And he invites you to abide in him, in that love that he has for you. I tell you what, folks, that is a great invitation. The comfort of abiding in the Lord is experiences, is unchanging love. The consolation of abiding in the love of the Lord. We live in a world that is starving for love. People look for love in all kinds of places and they don't find it. You know why? Because it's not the love of God. They think it is, but they don't understand the love of God. I tell you what, we live in a world that is starving for love. So much loneliness, so much broken hearts, so many broken lives, so many broken dreams, so many empty hearts in our world today. And they keep looking for love in the wrong places. Amen. And God looks at you and me and says, child, you are loved. Why don't you abide in me? Because you, I want you to abide in me because I love you. This is a sad world that we live in. God didn't create this world to be such a sad world. But folks, that's what sin does. And we play with sin, think that is fun. It is not. This world is full of people who are full of trouble. People with broken, with hearts full of uncertainty of what is going to happen tomorrow. A sad world with people who are dying without Jesus Christ. People who are destined to an eternal hell. Yet in this verse, Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we might experience this powerful, listen to this, agape, sacrificial love. What a promise. I tell you what a promise. I'm going to love you as the Father loves me. See how much Jesus loves you and me? The same love, the same amount of love that God the Father loves him. Wow. Listen, folks, this kind of love Jesus offers is very different from the world's love. Right. Let me tell you this. His love is eternal. His love is forever. His love doesn't question or to put question marks. That's the kind of love that we want. That's the kind of love that people are looking for. 1 John 4:10, it says, wherein is love? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Why you think, what do you think was the reason that Jesus left heaven to come to this world and was nailed to a cross? It's very easy to understand. Here's the answer. Love. Amen. Love drove him, motivated him to go to the cross of Calvary. But even today, he stands there and he says, not he is on the cross, but he stands and says to you and me, you are loved. Listen, please, it is healthy for us to keep in mind that our God loves us. It is healthy. It is healthy. In difficulties of life, in moments of life, when we discouraged and beaten down, it's good to know that we are loved. Amen. It is. We need to know that there is someone that loves us. God loves you before the foundation of the world. Jesus loves you with an everlasting and endless love. His love is not based on your performance. As love is not based on what you do, as love, he chooses to love you and me. Can you just choose to love him? You can choose to love him back too and abide in him. God loves you because he created you. And he desires for you to personally experience that love with him, is the word, by abiding in the vine. Abide in me and I in you. And once you're there, don't leave. Don't run. Stay there. Abide with Jesus. So you can get all the nourishment and you can be fruitful. We will talk about fruits in the days ahead. But I tell you what, and it's the purpose of that, when we abide in the vine and we stay in and get the nourishment out of the vine, what's going to happen to that, to those branches? They're going to produce fruit. Not just fruit, much fruit. And that's God's goal for you and me. But tonight we only look at and abiding in him and getting the nourishment from him. We will deal with the fruit later. So letter A, God's love is perfect. It is a condition, it is conditioned and totally excellent. It is a perfect love. Look what it says in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear had torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, there is no fear in love. If we love God, we should have no fear, because he cares about us. My God will take care of me. That's what Paul said. Folks, earthly love always has fears attached to it. Look what it says. I love you if you get straight A's. That's what some parents tell their kids. I love you if you make a touchdown. the sports, to the, of course, to the those guys that play football. I love you if you cook me dinner. Goodness, it happens to a lot of marriages. I love you if you bring me home a paycheck. If not, you're just a bum. You need to get out of here. Some fear is always built within a human love. We fear being rejected or not being accepted by friends and family. But the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. We don't have to be fearful about loving God, because you will love us back more than we can love Him. Let it be God. God's love is unchanging. It is the love that will go on forever. Nothing can separate us from His love, and His love for us will never change. Why we can abide in the vine, why we can get the nourishment out of the vine, because His love for you will never change. I tell you what a wonderful promise that we have. God loves me, and His love for me will never change. You don't have to question and guess that God loves me. Some people say, oh, if God loved me, you would not let me go through this. If God loved me, you would never allow this thing to happen in my life. If God loves me, and they question God's love. You know what? They don't have an idea what the Bible says. God's love is an everlasting love. God loves us with intensity that we cannot love Him back, but we question His love. You know why? Because of our lack of faith. When we question God's love, is our lack of faith that we have for Him. Brother Tom was talking about faith this morning. I'll tell you what, our lack of faith causes us to question His love. I'll tell you what, to this day, I never question God's love. I know that He loves me. I don't have to question or guess or think or maybe. No, I know that He loves me, because His love is unchangeable. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul continues with this in verse 38 and 39, and says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. It says, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. Look what it says, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, His love is unchangeable. He loves you. Let me put it this way. You are loved by God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You are loved by God. God loves you. Let me remind you tonight that there's nothing on earth that will change God's love for you. Yeah, you can stop loving God. We can make that choice because we have a self-will, walk away from everything that God stands for. But it doesn't change the fact that He's going to change His love for you. His love is unchangeable. If you are His child, He's going to go after you. He's going to chase you. He's going to try to get you back. I tell you what. It's because He chooses to love you in spite of you not loving Him. And I believe that all of us here tonight love Jesus. Otherwise, He wouldn't be here tonight. His love is unchanging. And His arms are open wide, inviting you to return to Him. He wants to abide in you. He invites you tonight. He says, abide in me and I in you. If you're not abiding in the vine tonight, why don't you abide yourself in the vine? Abide in the vine. Get the nourishment from Jesus. And you won't regret it. I conclude with this. Picture this. Jesus is holding out His nail-pierced hands to you. He's saying to those who never put their faith in Him, come to me. Let me be your Savior. I am the true vine. And to you, if you're a Christian here tonight, He says to you, come to me. I'm inviting you to come to me. Abide with me. I want to nurture you. I want you to grow and to have fellowship with me. May we do that. Look what it says in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, No more can ye except ye abide in me. You see what Jesus says here? Continually use the words abide, abide, abide. He's inviting you and inviting me to abide in him. Are you doing that tonight? Why don't we go and serve Jesus this week and abide in the vine, get nourishment from him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you.